This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Great to catch up with the maestro as we always do on Thursdays. Mike Palm joining us live from downtown Las Vegas at Circa Resort and Casino. Hopefully we'll be able to get out there soon before baseball season ends. We are on the precipice of the final weekend of the first half of the regular season. That is where we start today's edition of the Daily Diamond. Okay, it is pretty much a formality at this point. The National League West is pretty buttoned up. The LA Dodgers, before the year here at Moose, were a $7 betting favorite to win the division. Right now, yeah, that's not a misprint. That's four zeros behind the two there. Minus 20,000 as they hold a 14-game lead over second place San Diego. The Diamondbacks are 15 back, and then the Giants and Rockies are 22 and 23 games behind LA, respectively. Now, I show you this because we get to a much more palatable spot if you're looking at a make the playoffs price, or if you're looking to get a pretty significant number in the National League pennant odds. Let me start there, because the San Diego Padres present a really intriguing case study. And Mark, to be fair, this is a team that has still dealt with a fair amount of inconsistency. And I say that lightly, but I should be underlining it in bold and circling it in Sharpie. This offense for San Diego has left so much to be desired. Dead last in average, dead last in on base, OPS, run scored. They're 22nd in homers, but hey, they're third in stolen bases. Whoop-de-doo. Okay. Is it viable, though? And again, we're all running down the Dodgers here in the National League. I think the Phillies, who we talked about, the Marlins, who have been hard charging here since June 1st, present some intriguing value. San Diego would be the only team I could look at just because of the players they have to even entertain a potential future, whether it be make the postseason or an NL pennant future, because I think I'd want to monetize it at that point. I'll give you the floor, and we can move on if you're like, it's the Dodgers, and that's it, that's coming from the West. Is that kind of where you look at it as we sit here before we finish the first half of the regular season?
No, I think you have to look at, I think you have to look at San Diego. I wouldn't really look at anybody else. I mean, the Dodgers, I think we wake up on this Thursday, they've got 33 losses. The Giants and the Rockies have 38 wins, each of them, on the season. I mean, it is remarkable what the Los Angeles Dodgers have been able to do this year, and all they do is find ways to win. No, I think it's with San Diego. Listen, do I think Manny Machado is going to hit a .188 all season long? No, I don't think Manny Machado is going to hit a .188 all season long. And the power's still there, but still, you know, the three true outcomes and analytics departments are celebrating, high-fiving each other all across this great country. But I think you got a general manager that remains aggressive. And, you know, they're 4.5 games back of the last wild card spot in the National League. So when you look at a San Diego team where Jensen, nothing has gone right for them offensively. Nothing. So you say, well, it's got to change. They can't be this bad offensively all season long. I mean, and maybe they end up being that way. But I think if you lean into San Diego, you say to yourself, well, it's got to look better in the second half. And then it does. And then I've got a general manager that I know is going to be aggressive at the MLB trade deadline, has no issue in trading guys down at the farm system to try and add. We've seen that time and time again. And gets creative, I think the San Diego Padres would be the only team to me that I'd be interested in talking about. I mean, there's no real conversation in terms of the division. The Dodgers are gone. But in terms of making the playoffs, yes, I would look at the San Diego Padres based on the aggressiveness of their ownership and really their front office, I should say, and the fact that they're sitting there at the 500 mark, and one aspect of their team has been remarkably inconsistent. And yet here they are, and they've given themselves an opportunity. Similar conversations that we have with a number of teams in the American League, Jensen, which we talked about earlier in the show, where, you know, even if you look at a team like the Tigers, you say, well, the Tigers are out of it. And then you look at the standings, you're like, no, they're not. They're not out of it. They could still have an opportunity to go out there and do it, not necessarily having to move Scooble. So San Diego would be in a team that I'd be intrigued by based on the fact that I think the offense will get better as this season goes along.
It's going to be an interesting trade deadline to see where the Padres are in about a month's time and where we are in that National League wild card race. All that being said, we've talked a lot about the Pittsburgh Pirates and how they have been one of those intriguing teams to look at as a potential wild card winner. Let's start looking at today's slate, a little bit of an afternoon affair that we have on the docket, as well as some night games to target. Let me sit here and give you what you already know. The Kansas City Royals have been a bad team. The New York Mets have been a really bad team. Yesterday was an intriguing end for the New York Mets. You get to go ahead, run on a hit by pitch. You go and score a boatload more, and then you got to make it interesting in the ninth. But hey, all's well that ends well. We got Michael Wacha. We got Sean Manaea, 1:10 Eastern first pitch. Moose, this to me screams over. The over nine would be a target for me. Mets are 24-16-5 to the over as a home team this year. I don't know about you. I know Michael Wacha is an all-star this year, but I believe that this is kind of ripe for the taking for both these offense to take advantage on getaway day. What say you?
I would agree with you. It also screams camp day out at Citi Field, like where you'll have all the campers out there as well. An afternoon affair. It's July, you know, two teams that aren't going anywhere. Today screams half day or half, you know, so I would agree with you, you know, put the jokes aside. You know, it was Young leaned into it a little bit when he got hit on the elbow to give the Mets the lead at that point in time. And that rally came in unbelievably enough with two outs, led off by a Francisco Lindor single, which got it going for the Mets in that eighth inning. So you look at this afternoon, I would agree, based on the pitching matchup, momentum is the next day's starting pitcher. We've heard it time and time again across Major League Baseball. I think Kansas City will score some runs against a remarkably inconsistent Sean Manaea. And I think the Mets are going to get some runs here against Wacha. So I would imagine, in this game that we'll get over that number. So I'm going to agree with you, Jensen.
Okay. So again, another over that I think just knowing where the weather is too, the Cubs and the Orioles have had no resistance against either side. They didn't last night. Another high scoring affair, 9-7. The Cubs hold on, win that one over Baltimore. Series finale here. By the way, congrats to All-Star Pete Crow Armstrong. First Cubs since Slammin' Sammy Sosa in 1993 through 95 to have back-to-back seasons with 20 or more homers. He got it last night. And I would say we are ripe for the taking for more offense again there at Camden Yards. The Cubs are 11-5-1 to the over when they are a road dog, which they are this afternoon. It's David Peterson, former Met, getting the start against fellow left-hander Trevor Rogers. Rogers going to be that guy that you look at and say, all right, can we finally get a win? Maybe not a win, but we could certainly find some offense. I think Baltimore will be able to get to the lefty Peterson here for what it's worth. Baltimore also 16-11-1 to the over as a home favorite, which they will be behind their ace in Rogers here this afternoon, 1:35 p.m. Eastern first pitch. Do we align on offense there in Charm City this afternoon, Moose?
Yeah, I would agree with you. I mean, I think, you know, the Cubs are going for they've won 8 of 10 and they're going for the sweep of the Baltimore Orioles. Peterson, I think is thanking his lucky stars that he's now a member of the Cubs away from the Mets. Ground ball pitcher defense in Chicago significantly better than it was with the Mets. So, but even with all that being said on the road, and he's been, you know, first half David Peterson a year ago was an all-star. He hasn't been that pitcher now in the better part of a year of Major League Baseball time. So I think he'll give up some runs down there in Camden Yards. You saw 16 runs in the middle game of this series. I don't know if we're necessarily going to get to that number, but I think the Cubs will get some off of Rogers as well. A high-scoring affair, wouldn't be a surprise at all if Chicago cracks out the brooms and sweeps away the Baltimore Orioles as a slight underdog this afternoon. But I think we're going to go over that number as well.
All right, from offense to maybe some pitching dominance, and we get an intriguing matchup in the Twin Cities. A big affair here between the Guardians and the Twins. Minnesota, a big win for them last night. They creep ever closer to the top of the American League Central. It's Gavin Williams on the mound for the Guardians. 1:40 p.m. Eastern is first pitch there. Bailey Ober going to come back off the IL here today, Moose. They a plus. This is a fascinating spot here. Plus $1.13 at Circa. The Twins are as a home underdog. And for what it's worth, the trend has been good to the under. The under 8.5 here between the Guardians and the Twins. Guardians are 11-6 to the under as a road favorite, which they are today. Again, shop around for your best price if you want to back Cleveland on the money line. $1.26 at Circa, $1.31 at DraftKings. I think we get some run prevention. Again, this has been two offenses that have been one or the other. The Twins have been very high scoring. The Guardians have struggled without Jose Ramirez to put up consistent offense. Moose, what say you about another big AL Central matchup here at Target Field?
Yeah, I kind of like Minnesota, this afternoon. You look at Gavin Williams, he hasn't pitched particularly well as of late. Coming off a 4 2/3 inning performance against the Chicago White Sox, 5 hits, 3 runs. The start before that, he allowed 3 earned runs. His ERA in the month of June was a tad over 6. So you look at the Minnesota Twins in a wide open American League Central. We've spent some time talking about that division. And I understand why the Guardians are a slight favorite this afternoon. You're right, shop around for the best price. But just based on the way that Williams is throwing the ball right now, even with some of the injuries, with Buxton being out for the Minnesota Twins based on IL, I'm going to take Minnesota a little home cooking today at Target Field.
Minnesota, the most runs scored in the American League at 457, winners of 4 in a row, 7 of their last 10. They have closed within 2 games of the Chicago White Sox for the top spot in the Central. Guardians have lost 4 in a row, including 6 of their last 10. No losing when we get our fearless leader, even on vacation, on the show. Super Dave Ross. He'll jump on next to talk all things UFC 329, and I don't think he's gone to bed. The Scottish Open, round 1, halfway home. What's he got? What's live? We'll talk to Dave next.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge, but what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match it. Here's the thing. Pro bettors, they spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't know and don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you're going to get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and so much more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
Rolling along another Thursday edition of VSiN by the Books. Jensen Lewis alongside the Moose, Mark Melusis. We called Moose out of the pen because our old starting pitcher needed the week for a little rest and recovery. It sounds like we're heating up in the pen. We're getting ready for a big start next Monday. Let's bring him in live from Bristol. No, he's not racing the race cars, people. It is our man, Super Dave. Dave Ross joins us here on the Progressive Guest Line. Great to see you. You look well rested. It's not a campaign stop, even though the Lewis Ross administration takes all kinds of donations, legally, of course. But great That's to right. see you. How was vacay, seeing mom and dad and everybody at home?
Everybody, they send their best. They love the show. We watch even when I'm on vacation. So I get up with dad, have a cup of coffee, and we got the Moose and we got J. Lou rocking and rolling. You guys have been killing it all week. It's great, though, to recharge, get home, see the parents, talk a lot of sports. I'm sure they don't want to talk as much sports as I like to talk. And then we're heading on back here to get back to the Kentucky-Tennessee border. Pit stop here in Bristol. Going to play some golf later on this afternoon, try to beat the rain a little bit. But you know I'm watching the Scottish Open, and you know I can't wait for UFC 329, guys. It is as good a card. I know Freedom 250 might be the best card we've had so far this year. This one is really, really deep, and of course, the return of the king here with Conor McGregor, guys. I don't know what to expect, but I can't wait to watch it on Saturday night.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask you, Dave, in terms of you kind of stole my answer a little bit. What should UFC fans expect when you see McGregor back in the ring?
Oh boy, Mark. What it's such a $1,000 question, especially in the betting markets, because when this fight came out a couple months ago, shameless plug, Rob Moreno and I were talking about it on First Strike, wherever you get your podcast. And I saw Conor was over $3 betting underdog, guys. And I went, well, you got to take Conor McGregor because they're going to fight this fight at 170 pounds. And he's going to be so much bigger than Max Holloway. And all those things are still true. And then I had to remember, Mark, exactly that question. Who is Conor McGregor in 2026? He looks great, right? I don't think anybody's doubting that. He's going to do all of his stuff, his strutting, and he's going to be Conor McGregor. The king is back. You know, Mystic Mac, all of that stuff is back into play. And then I go, I haven't seen him in 5 years, guys, and I'm going to bet Conor McGregor, and the money's all coming in on Conor, and it's knocking this number way down. And then I got to remember who's on the other side, and that's a Hall of Famer in his own right, Max Holloway. Guys, at some point, if you get Max Holloway at minus $2 against a guy we haven't seen in 5+ years, and let's be honest, didn't even look great 5 years ago, this isn't 2015. Jensen, as much as I like that to be with the Mets back in the World Series and Conor McGregor is the number one guy in the sport, it's 2026, gentlemen. I think I have to look to the favorite side here in Max Holloway. I do think it might take a little longer to get there, guys. And that's why I think the over 2.5 at about a -$1.05 is a fair price point to get in. I don't see either guy taking out the other guy inside of 2.5 rounds.
Got a little sneak peek of your latest episode of First Strike upcoming in Best Bets later on in this program. On that main card there, DR, anywhere else that you find either some advantageous angles to get in pocket now before prices change, any methods of victory, anything creative you kind of had surface when you and Rob talked through this card?
Yeah, this is definitely a Paul Sorvino card for me. Now I got to turn my back on you, right, from Goodfellas. And that really is Patty Pimblett here, guys. Jensen knows this, Moose. I love Patty the Batty. Okay, Patty Pimblett's been a guy that I've bet on every single fight that he's had since he entered the UFC, and I've only lost once, and that's the last time out against Justin Gaethje. And while he says scousers don't get knocked out, and he didn't get knocked out that night against Justin Gaethje. That's my terrible British accent, by the way. He's so tough, but he's going up against a Frenchman here in the God of War in Benoit Saint-Denis. So what's the game plan for Patty Pimblett to be Benoit Saint-Denis? Is it to get into the cardio and then hope later on in the third round the French, foreign specialist fighter, elite fighter that he is going to tire? That's the game plan? That sounds like the game plan to me. I don't like it. I love Benoit Saint-Denis here, laying a small price point, guys. I think Patty, because he looked good against Gaethje, and then Gaethje looked amazing against Ilya Topuria, people want to buy into MMA math. And sometimes that math, and I know because I wasn't great at math, doesn't always equate. So I'm going to go with Benoit Saint-Denis. Forget about what we saw last time out with Patty Pimblett against Gaethje and then what Gaethje did to Topuria. This is two different fighters completely. I think if he goes down to the ground, I know that Patty Pimblett likes to be on the ground here. I think he actually might be fish out of water, and we know he's not going to win the striking game with BSD. Give me the Frenchman over the Englishman. No, this is not soccer. This is fighting. I will take Benoit Saint-Denis at the small price point here, guys.
Dave, dealer's choice, you know, any thoughts on either the Bautista or the McKinney match, either one of those two that you like, either one of those two where you have a strong lean one way or the other?
It's another one, Mark, that, you know, I'm a big Corey Sandhagen guy. Had him on my old show in Chicago, have a personal affinity for the guy. I think he's always been kind of one of those best at 135 pounds in the world, Mark, but just never quite got to the top of the heap here. And I think Mario Bautista is going to be a really dangerous out for him. So I like the Bautista side here, plus money, two fighters that I do back a lot. And I found myself in a lot of these fights on this card particularly, looking at guys that I back a lot that are going against each other. Like I mentioned with BSD against Patty Pimblett, Max Holloway against Conor McGregor here. I'm going to take the dog price on Bautista because I think it's an even fight. And I think you're getting some value at +$1.22 here on the Bautista side. As for the King Green fight, this is so interesting to me, guys, because I heard that Bobby Green said that he and Terrence McKinney are boys and that they were hanging out together. And then he said, oh, you got the call and you took the fight. And now he's mad that T-Rex took the fight. And so I thought we were boys. Oh, now you think I'm an easy fight? Well, I'll show you. Oh, boy. When friends fight sometimes and then they become frenemies in there, it normally is highly combustible. And Rob and I found a little prop here, guys. You can get 4-1 that this fight doesn't go past 60 seconds. Don't blink, guys. It's not going to get out of the first round. I don't know if we can get it done in 60, but somebody's going out. Friends be damned. Now it's business. I do lean towards the Terrence McKinney side, but I think we're getting a quick knockout here Saturday night at T-Mobile, and it really might be inside of 60 seconds.
All right. Our fearless leader, Dave Ross, live from Bristol on vacation. A little breakdown of UFC 329. Shameless plug. We will have a little teaser of what you and Rob have cooked up in best bets upcoming in the show. No tease here because you and I have talked about it for a while. Rory McIlroy taking time off from signature events, going across the pond, getting ready for another major. All he did was go out and shoot 5 under par. We've got a 4-way tie atop the Scottish Open leaderboard. Tom Kim, Bernard Weisberger, and Patrick Cantlay. They are in as the leaders. Your boy Brooks Koepka, 4 under in his first round. Your takeaways from what you've seen early this morning, and then maybe a little recap of what you have live on the tournament thus far.
Go get it, Jensen. Go get this golf course. Go beat it up. It is there for the taking here at Renaissance Club. It's not Renaissance Club, as we tried to say to sound all cool and Scottish. It's just the Renaissance Club. So that's the way they say it, too. I do like Brooks's chances to hang around this weekend, guys. These are not like particularly hard greens that we see, say, at a PGA Championship, at a U.S. Open, per se. So they're very slow as we get over there, and we'll get to the British Open next week, which I know we'll dive into a lot next week as well. So I do think for quote-unquote bad putters or average putters like a Brooks Koepka, this is your type of golf course. You can just go flag hunting out there on this thing. You can hit it a pretty far ways, and then you can go at some of these pins here, and if you get it to 20 feet, you're not going to have any danger of running the putts past, so you can really be aggressive for those quote-unquote average putters out there. So it's not the type of course, Jensen, I'm looking at the best putters in the world. I'm looking for ball strikers. That's what a Brooks Koepka is. Certainly Scottie Scheffler, the profile fits every golf course. I can't wait to see what he does a little bit later on out there today. But I did back Brooks against J.J. Spawn. I couldn't believe he's getting plus $1.55. When you think about it, what does J.J. Spawn do well? He's ball striker. Well, Brooks is better. Driver, Brooks is better. And the putter, JJ, suffers at times, and that's maybe where they're equal. You're going to give me a plus $1.55 price point on that? That was a 3-unit play, and right now he's 2 shots up after 1 round. So I like where I stand there. Robert McIntyre, 3-under today. I really think Bobby Mack, this is his national championship there in Scotland. To him, guys, maybe not to us, but to him, he feels like this is as important as any major he will play. He's already won his national open once. He's only 2 off the lead. Watch Robert McIntyre this weekend. Pretty indifferent 3-under par this morning here, guys. Could have even been better. I think he's going to be around for the long haul. I have him at low euro at 16-1. So, Rory, could you just slow down a little bit and give me a chance to get that ticket home? I appreciate it.
All right. I did go swing it at the range yesterday. I've got a little match I got to play here on Saturday. It took 8 to 10 swings, but I don't think anyone wants any part of the Beeson by the Book scramble team. I'm going to tell you that. We are for where we need to be. A little putt for dough action coming here on Saturday. Go enjoy Bristol. Hit him straight, brother. Safe travels back. We'll see you on Monday. That's our fearless leader, Super Dave Ross, live from Bristol. Here on the Progressive Guest Line. A little first strike next, some hardwood handicappers, and your emails next on VSiN by the Books.
Work. You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
Still no shortage of betting opportunities this summer. Obviously, daily Major League Baseball, the World Cup. Hey, we're going to miss it when it's gone, that's for sure. You will not want to miss, though, VSiN's football special for just $175. You get full VSiN Pro access through the Super Bowl, including our all-new 2026-27 NFL betting guide to help you attack the futures, win totals, division races, all that you need for the upcoming season. And you also get the daily best bets, the real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, our AI-powered prop projections, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app, everything you need across every major sport all year long. The earlier you sign up, the more value you'll get. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Great to have Super Dave back on from some vacation. Shout out to one of our great listeners and watchers is Brent, who made those shirts, Mark, the Lewis Ross administration for 2028. Brent, a devout follower for us here on VSiN by the Books. And all of you who have been sending in, this has been so great. I almost feel daily getting these email messages. If you want to join in, please do. Send us your feedback. buythebooks@vsin.com. Again, so many great responses from you that listen and watch us every single morning. Lance Schaefer, who always, he dubs himself as Listener Lance here, Moose, sent us a great email yesterday. He was talking about how athletes there on the pitch for the United States will never compete with the world's top athletes until we have our best and brightest. He's talking about soccer season. There's been a lot of consternation here the last week or so that it's getting very expensive, or it is too expensive for some of our best young athletes to be able to compete. He said soccer season in high school is the same time as football, so they should have moved it to the spring season 20 years ago, and now the kids can make some serious money in NIL. It's too late for having some of those young kids be able to switch. He also thinks that I should dust off the cleats and try out for U.S. goalkeeper. I don't know if I'm that kind of defensive wizard. If you give me a ball to throw, though, Lance, I feel like I'm in a little better spot there than trying to stop some of these ridiculous shots from these world-class athletes there on the international football front. That being said, again, buy the books at vsin.com. Please send us your emails. They've been great to listen and watch as they come in here day in and day out. Mentioned that we had, obviously, Dave on, if you're just joining us here. A little nugget for those of you that are not subscribed yet to the First Strike podcast. Big one coming up with UFC 329 this weekend. A really good instantaneous gratification angle that Rob and Dave have cooked up for you. Take a listen.
This team is loaded with first-round talent from the last 2 years. Kind of feel like there's going to be a little bit of a hunger from Brooklyn, not just this regular season, but...
All right, so that we'll get to in a moment. But again, we'll tee it for you. This is Rob Moreno and Dave Ross, again, for UFC 329. This is a little instantaneous bet angle that they have for maybe a quick profit. Take a listen.
You know, fun while it lasted could explain maybe a Terrence McKinney fight here, because it seems like those fights don't last very long either against Bobby King Green. Now, look, you don't see totals like this very often, Rob, where it's sitting at a round and a half, and it's almost minus $4. Minus 360 is what I'm seeing to get over 7.5 minutes. By the way, I think it's properly aligned. I don't know how this fight gets out of the first round, and maybe, Rob, it doesn't get out of the first minute.
No, I mean, there is, when I saw this fight listed on the card, I was like, that is chaos in a bottle. That is just violence in either direction. And shop around if you're looking at the under, because I've got minus 445 on my side of town for the under. It is, and you're right, I don't see how this goes past a minute or a round and a half. And speaking on that, there's actually a very fun prop, and most UFC fights offer it, but I found it the first time during Terrence McKinney's last fight, and you can bet on the fight to end within the first minute, first 60 seconds of the fight. And man, I joked about that with Terrence McKinney's last fight, and he got it done in 24 seconds, and I regret not taking it. It's there again. We looked it up in between these segments, 4-1 for the fight to end in the first minute. And the beauty with Terrence McKinney is that he adds it from both sides. He's either winning or losing in 60 seconds. I mean, I looked at his recent fights. 4 of his last 6 have ended under a minute. So add in King Green. And hey, I'm pretty strict on my UFC betting. You know, I treat my model very seriously. But if you're looking for some fun this weekend, that's a nice little pizza money one, because you don't want to miss this one. Don't get up at the beginning of the fight, because you'll probably miss the entire thing.
All right, really good stuff there from the boys on First Strike. Again, wherever you get your podcasts, please like and follow what should be not only a great primer for UFC 329, but boys have been pretty profitable week in and week out. So good stuff there. Also, we are getting into not necessarily one of those seasons where you're going to have some really good hard data to go off of, but perhaps some guardrails. If you're into betting the summer league for the National Basketball Association, Zach Cohen has a great Hardwood Handicappers Summer League Betting Guide episode up right now. Again, part of our great a catalog of podcasts that we have here at VSiN. Zach gives you a couple of ideas from a futures angle, and one in particular you might want to attack here for the NBA Summer League.
This team is loaded with first-round talent from the last 2 years. Kind of feel like there's going to be a little bit of a hunger from Brooklyn, not just this regular season, but like in Summer League. Like, I feel like it starts now with this team trying to get back on the map and become not a force in the Eastern Conference. They're ways away from that, but like a factor in the Eastern Conference, like a team that could be in the play-in tournament next year. I think that that is the goal for Brooklyn, which is why I think you saw them go out and add Julius Randle. And I feel like that stuff trickles down to every level of the organization, including at Summer League. This team has several players that can go out there and take over games.
Great stuff there from Zach Cohen, again, senior editor here for us at VSiN.com, host of the Hardwood Handicappers podcast. That right there, again, for those just joining us, he likes the Nets at 14-1 to win the NBA Summer League. And again, his Hardwood Handicappers Summer League Betting Guide episode is up now. Again, wherever you get your podcasts, search for Hardwood Handicappers. Give it a like and a follow. All right, best bets for today. Talk to through a little bit of the Major League Baseball card here. And I think you and I, Moose, are aligned on that over for the Royals and the Mets game. David Peterson Sean Manaea going to get the start here for the New York Mets. For the Kansas City Royals, it'll be their all-star Michael Wacha. Total is still at 9, juice to the over. $1.15 there at circuits, $1.18 at DraftKings. I'm telling you, after what happened last night, a little issue with the Royals bullpen in the 8th inning, a little explosion from the Mets to win comfortably, I think we get a little more run production on getaway day at Citi Field. What do you think?
Yeah, I would agree with you there. And we chat a little bit about it earlier on. I think both offenses are going to be on full display this afternoon out there in Flushing, Queens. So I like the over in that total. I'll throw a couple other plays in there that we chat about a little bit. I'll take the Rays. Yankees are scuffling along. We've talked about that time and time again. Opener this afternoon for the Bombers. Rasmussen on the mound for the Tampa Bay Rays. They're $1.63 favorite. I know it's a big number, but I think lean into what you are seeing at this point in time and what we are witnessing. The Yankees have been terrible offensively for the better part of 20 games. I think that continues this afternoon. So I would take the Rays laying the $1.63. I like the Twins this afternoon. Even though Gavin Williams on the mound for the Guardians, you mentioned it, Jensen, earlier on, the Guardians scuffling along. Minnesota has gotten themselves back into that wide open AL Central race, trailing the Chicago White Sox by a couple games. But I'm going to take the Minnesota Twins to remain red hot, even without Buxton. They've been really good offensively as well. Give me Minnesota plus the $1.09 this afternoon against the Cleveland Guardians at home.
Yeah, I think I'm going to get involved in that game as well. I like the under 8.5 here. And just for perspective, Guardians as a road favorite, 11-6 to the under. They will have one of their aces, Gavin Williams, on the mound. They're looking to try and stop a 4-game losing streak, and the Twins creep ever closer to the top of that AL Central. Three teams, the White Sox, Guardians, and Twins, now separated only by 2 games in that divisional race. So things tightening ever so quickly. You mentioned the over in the Royals and the Mets game. I think we can also look for some offense elsewhere here in the early slate. I would certainly look at the Cubs and the Orioles over 9.5. If you can find 9.5s, I would definitely like it. Still okay with a 10, but right now this has ticked up just in the last half hour here, that it has gone from 9.5 in many books up to 10. I'm seeing 10.5s starting to populate here. So the public is piling in on more offense and some advantageous hitting conditions at Camden Yards. So absolutely love where both offenses could be. against those opposing starting pitchers. That's where you're going to find David Peterson. Not in New York anymore. Now a member of the Cubs. He'll get the ball for the Chicago Cubs. It's Trevor Rogers on the hill for the Baltimore Orioles. We get the quarterfinal round of the World Cup underway this afternoon. No one better to break it down than Anthony DeBundo. Writer and podcast host at The Ringer joins us next to break that and all the rest of the matches this weekend down. Next on VSiN by the Books.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
Fabulous show here on a Thursday. VSiN by the Books, Jensen Lewis alongside the Boost, Mark Melusis. Super Dave will be back on Monday. And boy, on Monday, what will this World Cup quarterfinal round have looked like? Musa, I know we get it underway with France and Morocco later this afternoon, Spain and Belgium tomorrow at 3 o'clock Eastern time, and then a double dip, a little primetime action across the pond, Norway and England Saturday, 5 p.m. That'll be in Miami, and then Argentina and Switzerland on Saturday evening, 9 p.m., that at Arrowhead in Kansas City. So a lot to like about it, a lot to love from what we just had, and a round of 16 that really was one that we will remember for quite some time. So excited to see what we have for an encore performance here. And I tell you, I think it's really intriguing from a couple of different angles. First and foremost, obviously on, you know, the left side of the bracket, if you will, it is the heavy favorites. France today to qualify is upwards of $4 as a favorite. It's also Spain, where in some markets, they're even over now $3, minus 320 on DraftKings to qualify. Those would be the expected results. Morocco, listen, this is a recap of what we saw in the semifinals in 2022. France ended up beating Morocco 2-0 to qualify for the final in just last year's World Cup. A defensive-minded group, one that I think is going to have to be really good on the counter against France's attack to be able to try and get some goals. I think we heard earlier that we would probably see Morocco, Mike Palm even mentioned it, if Morocco are going to find their way through, they're going to have multiple scorers here to try and offset what has been just a well-oiled machine for France's attack. Spain and Belgium tomorrow end up presenting just a contrasting style here. Spain is still that team left in this tournament that have yet to concede a goal. Belgium has been really, really consistent with their attack. We will see if there's any change up in the starting 11 as Belgium had a couple of their big guns on the bench and Kevin De Bruyne and Romelu Lukaku, who came in. And of course, Lukaku getting that finishing goal, making it 4-1 Belgium over the United States. Saturday, it's going to feel like watching Seahawks Rams from last year on the NFL analogy side when we get Norway in England. And I thought Mike Palm made a great, great handicap of where Norway are against England. Listen, this is a match with a handful of Premier League players on both sides. It'll be anxious for both to see how they will tactically try and take advantage of each other. Here to be able to break it down as he has been across the network throughout this World Cup, none other than Anthony DeBundo, writer and podcast host at The Ringer. Give him a follow on X at Anthony DeBundo, joining us here on the Progressive Guest Line. Buddy, great to catch up with you. Looking forward to getting this quarterfinal round underway this afternoon. If it was any indicator from what we saw to finish the round of 16, we are in for a treat. Let's start with the headliner here today. France, of course, the short shot to win this World Cup. They've continued to be the class of this tournament. What can Morocco do in your eyes to make this match a contest and perhaps even pull what would be one of the biggest upsets here in this World Cup?
Yeah, France has not really played a team outside of maybe Senegal in the first hour that is going to look to settle possession and keep the ball against them. Most teams are afraid to attack France. They want to concede the ball, but not concede space, because if you get France in transition, they are the most deadly team in this tournament by far. So what can Morocco do? I think when they win possession back, and they did this a little bit against Brazil, they can kind of just keep the ball. And in a lot of ways, like play keep away and just burn clock and stall it out and drag it out. Because France is not like Spain. They're not like England. They're not like Argentina. That when they lose possession of the ball, their immediate belief is like, we need to go win this back as soon as possible. That is not France. France will sit there. They will keep everything in front of them. They will let you have possession, but they will not let you get into their penalty area. So I think Morocco can try to have a lot of the ball, more than you'd expect for a game like France-Morocco. And I think that's maybe their path to having some success here. Because I also think like this defense for France outside of the Paraguay game has given up more chances than you'd expect them to give up. So I do wonder if there's a little bit of maybe weakness in the French midfield and defense that hasn't quite been exposed yet, because they score three goals every game and we're all so enamored by their attack.
Do you expect there to be, you know, what you look at the total in the game sitting there at 2.5. Do you expect this to go over the total, or do you expect this to be a low scoring match?
I did bet a prop, which is Morocco to score first half plus 250. I think they can surprise France early in this game. Again, if they're able to keep more of the ball, they'll be able to find pockets and passing lanes through this defense and create a couple opportunities early. I would lean with the over as a result of that. But again, the scary thing is when France does get a lead in these matches, they do tend to just take a very conservative approach, especially in a knockout match. And so if they're up 1-0, 2-0, like they will sit there and they will make it difficult for Morocco. And also Ismaël Saibari, the star striker for Morocco, is out. So that's a huge loss. Him to Rahimi is a pretty big drop off.
Yeah, it definitely is. A great handicap for that, Anthony, because I think that will play into maybe the urgency of where we may see Morocco should they fall behind early. It's going to be tactically tough for them to overcome. It's been nearly impossible to overcome La Roja and what Spain had done up to this point in this World Cup. The defense that rivals anything we've seen in World Cups past, yet to concede still. Do we find that to be a similar theme tomorrow afternoon with Belgium already the big shocker over the United States? I know for us here, not a shocker for the international community, kind of an expected result with the outclassing of the American side. But boy, stepping up in a puncher's weight, no question about it. How do we handicap Spain and Belgium tomorrow afternoon?
Yeah, it's really interesting because I think a lot of people are now back in on Belgium after thrashing the United States. And you know, I'm just going to go back and say that I still feel that that game on Monday night said a whole lot more about the U.S., their readiness, and just their general performance level in that match. And losing Amadou Onana, the star Belgian midfielder, to injury is a huge one in this match. They found some success against the U.S. by playing very direct, going long, winning headers, winning second balls, and picking on the worst U.S. defenders. They did a very good job of that. And the U.S., again, a lot of their best players, not just Pulisic, but everybody in the back line, had uncharacteristically bad games. Looked nervous. I don't think Belgium can do the same thing to Spain. I don't think Belgium is going to be finding success if they sit Jeremy Doku again, who is their best player. I don't think Rudy Garcia can get away with doing what he did tactically against Spain, like he did against the U.S., without them having 25% of the possession and getting constantly smothered and pressed into their own half. So I'm going Belgium to not score. Both teams to score no is minus 110. I like that bet too. I think that Spain will continue to be a grind it out, keep the ball, strangle the game team. And I don't really trust this Belgian press right now to be able to win it off better teams. They did it against the U.S., but again, I think that said more about the U.S. than it did Belgium.
Anthony, how about Norway and England? What's your quick handicap when you take a look at that matchup and any bets you have in that one?
Yeah, I think it's the most interesting tactical battle of this entire round. I am on England, money line. I cannot get to this price. Brazil closed minus 140. I have been down on Brazil coming into this tournament. The main reason I've been down on Brazil, they don't really have an ability to press to win the ball back. That is not an Ancelotti thing, and they don't have depth. Well, England has depth in numbers. England has pressers. England has a more dominant midfield. England can smother this game. And yes, Holland in transition is terrifying, especially since Ghana had success in transition. And we even saw DR Congo create in transition. So like you could see a world where Norway gets one or two, but I really think this Norwegian defense gets exposed and they are constantly defending something they are not comfortable or good at doing. Solbakken, the coach for Norway, he has found constant ways to try to get them to not have to defend that much and to attack. And I don't think it's going to work here. So I think England outscores Norway, wins in regulation.
Anthony, last 30 seconds with you. Argentina surviving now against Cape Verde. They have survived Egypt with an all-time comeback. Can they survive the 72-year drought in between quarterfinal appearances for the Swiss? What do you got for the final quarterfinal match?
Yeah, so this market has taken under money, and I agree with it. The Swiss, without Johan Manzambi, are a very limited attacking team right now, especially since Ruben Vargas, who's probably been their second-best attacker at this tournament, has been in and out now with injury. He only played a half hour against Colombia off the bench, and I'm not sure he'll start in this one. So you look at a team that just doesn't really have the ability to get the ball to Brayle Embolo at the top, and it's like, that's going to have to be a grinder of a game. And I think Argentina, as much as they've played these crazy back-and-forth high-event matches, this one to me profiles like a really low scoring one. So like under two at plus money is intriguing. Under 2.25 is a good. And as a result, like if you think it's going to be that low scoring, you probably should take a small shot on the Swiss to advance, like plus 260, 250. I saw it's just not that big of a gap.
Totally agree. Brother, thanks as always for joining us. Anthony DeBundo has been on the network all across this World Cup. We look forward to visiting with you again soon. Stay tuned. We're done, but the numbers game is up next. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin. It's Paul Carr with his World Cup plays. Zach Cohen, the top Wimbledon bets, and the crack man close out the final hour with his best Vegas stories. We'll do it again tomorrow. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.